Unfortunately, I forget to turn off. I get soccer scores sometimes during my sermons. And the first thing that came up was a guy named Gabriel Jesus just scored. So. I think Gabriel and Jesus are winning. That's really funny. Thank you, Lord. Rosemary, would you pray for us? Amen. You know, I would rather the Lord either speak to me, and I don't know what you're like. God's a conversationalist, and He's a talker. But sometimes I would wish He would talk about the things I'm supposed to be thinking about, not talk about the things I'm not supposed to be thinking about. So I would rather, it's really distracting when He starts talking to me about prophetic stuff, when I'm wanting Him to keep talking to me about sermons. But I'll give you one prophetic thing, a couple of prophetic things. How about that? Quick ones. Driving to church on Wednesday was my first day to come out of the cave. Since the little thunderstorm that came through. And on the way down Highway 80, I had this open vision. I saw this, like, giant wheat field and this huge, strong arm. And I realized it was an angel with a sickle harvesting. And so I knew the Lord was telling me it's harvest time. This is a season where we're going to see God do a lot of harvesting. Also, let me just, so can I give you a word, a prophetic word, without you taking it personal? Because I don't mean it personally, but I don't know what to do when I get words like this, other than I just need to give you the word. And so I'm not talking to any person with me. This is bigger than us. One of the things the Lord told me is that through this whole season, that's been so weird since like last March, February, whenever, that the target has actually been the children. It's the children He's trying to take out. And that in this world of virtual Christianity, it's the children who suffer the most. So I know that when we get together again for our Rector's Council, which is like a week and a half, that we'll talk about opening up more stuff here. Because for those of us who haven't, let me say it again. I said this to you last week. I really understand for people who can't come, don't come because of the coronavirus. I get it. I support you. I'm with you. I got it. You're with me 100%. You stay home and the Lord gives you freedom. That which is not of faith is sin. If you don't have the faith, I don't mean that you don't have faith, but if your faith says stay home, then you stay home. But you can't do virtual Christianity. And our children especially can't. They don't have enough stuff built in them, not enough years to survive that. So just be careful. Now that's a word pray into, not just for here, but for our country beyond that. The children, and I never thought about that, never even crossed my mind, that that was really His main target, was the children. And so just be in prayer. Now, I hope that didn't make you feel bad. I'm not trying to make you feel bad. Just giving you a report. couple other things, but I'm just going to have to wait. All righty. Rosemary, I trust her prayers. So I trust this will be a good sermon. If it's not, it's not on me. It's on Rosemary, okay? That's why I always get people to pray beforehand, because afterwards, if somebody says that wasn't really good, I'm going, well, it's not my fault. I told them to pray. Here's a few things just to remind you of. One, prayer always happens in heaven because you're seated in heavenly places in Christ. Because you're in Christ, you participate in His relationship with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Just stunning. You've been included into the Trinity, the fellowship of the burning heart of the Trinity. Secondly, we said this 2 weeks ago, and just God wants to say yes to all your prayers. He doesn't always say yes to all your prayers, but He wants to. He makes that really clear in 1 John chapter 5, that if we pray anything according to His will, He hears us. And if He hears us, we know that we already have that for which we've asked. Now, I didn't say God always says yes to all of our prayers, because sometimes we're growing and walking out our union with Christ and praying in union with Him and God's will. But He wants to say yes to all our prayers. Prayer happens in heaven. God wants to say yes. All those verses in the Upper Room Discourse, where He said, you ask anything in My name, I will do it. Just stunning stuff. Jesus is our prayer life because we're one with Him. Amen? And don't be afraid to be audacious. I don't know who this quote is from, but somebody who said this better than I would have. God is looking for the open door to provide His solutions for our problems. We open that door through believing prayer. I know I read this to you before. This, I think, is for sure from Bill Johnson. If you live cautiously, your friends will call you wise. You just won't move many mountains. No, like this. Unbelief is safe because it takes no risk and almost always gets what it expects. Only the expectant give birth to anything. That's just the truth in the natural. Only those who are expecting women give birth to anything. Only the expectant give birth to anything in the kingdom. That's just true. We talked about the fact we're looking at personal petitions. It bleeds also into intercession, so I can't really just separate that from what I'm saying now in the next couple weeks or so. But there are three realms of personal petition. One is that we're praying into a greater manifestation into our experience of Christlikeness. It's not that we're asking for Jesus to give us more because we have all things. We've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. We're just praying for an increased manifestation in our lives, for our own personal growth. Amen? Secondly, we pray for daily bread, things that we know that are our needs. He promised that He would supply all of our needs according to His riches in Christ in glory. And if it's a genuine need, then God has already said yes to it. Keep it simple. He says that He knows what we need before we even ask Him, right? So the way we spend time with the Lord is asking Him what we need instead of just telling Him what we need. Ask Him, Lord, I need this, right? With a question mark, and ask God to confirm. And if it is, He said He already knows what you need, therefore He intends to say yes. Then you can pray. But we want to hear Him. Amen? And thirdly, we pray into those places where we bring justice to victory, where we plead the blood of Christ, the victory of Christ, over the powers of darkness, into situations in our lives where we know we see the hand of the enemy. Okay? What I want to focus on today is James chapter 5. So if you'll turn your Bibles to James chapter 5. And this scripture and the things I'm going to share today fit both in the whole realm of personal petition and intercession. James chapter 5, verse 16 and 17. Now, often we'll leave out, when we quote the second half of verse 16, we forget the context of what he's talking about. So I want you to see both of these verses in fullness. Therefore, verse 16, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. Now I'm going to read the verse before that and the verse after that. Verse 15. And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick. The Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed any sins, they will be forgiven him. Therefore, confess your sins to one another, pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. Now, remember, he just said, the effective prayer of a righteous man, that can be threatening, accomplishes much. Then the very next person he quotes makes me feel better. Elijah was a man with a nature just like ours. You remember Elijah? The guy who walked around telling God he was the only person walking with the Lord. And there were just 7,000 other prophets and wishing that he would just die. That spiritual giant. The one after Mount Carmel, as soon as Ahab makes this, Jezebel threatens him, he runs in fear. That guy. Okay. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months, and he prayed again, and the sky poured rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Now, one thing about Elijah, for sure, in these scriptures, he certainly was effective in prayer. Because he says in verse 16 that the effective, or the word effective would be the prayer that works. That's really the Greek word. The prayer that works of a righteous man can accomplish much. And the word accomplish here is the word prevail. I like that. Can prevail a lot. Prevail over the schemes of the enemy. Prevail over the issues of nature. Prevail over all kinds of stuff. The kind of prayers, working prayers of a righteous person can prevail a lot. Now, it says about Elijah that we know the story in chapter 18 of 1 Kings that after the whole famine and drought for 3.5 years, the whole Mount Carmel issue, God told him, pray now. He prayed now, and the rain came. Floods came. But what we forget is over in chapter 17 when he walked into Ahab's presence and said, it's not going to rain for 3.5 years. It says in this verse that it didn't rain, it stopped raining because he prayed. Now, God had made his purposes clear. But he prayed that which he'd seen from heaven's perspective into the reality of earth. He prayed in partnership with God. And it stopped raining. And then 3.5 years he prayed and it rained. So there's some things I want you to see that are so simple. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly. What did that earnest prayer look like? The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. What is effective prayer? Again, look at the context. Verse 15 says, because he's talking about initially about people getting healed, he says, and the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick. Therefore, confess your sins one another, pray for one another, so you can be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man. What's an effective prayer? Prayer, prayed, and faith. Now, here's the deal. I'm not going to give you anything in this series in prayer that's going to be really deep and heavy. We have to kind of have a spiritual PhD to understand it. As I've said to you 1,000 times, we're called sheep. That's not because we're a spiritual rocket scientist. I get so frustrated. I was reading some books yesterday by some real brilliant theologians who were saying wonderful things. But the problem is I had to go through psychiatric therapy to pick out what they were saying. It was so wonderful. And I thought, the only person, and these are famous people, and I thought the only persons that could understand really what you're saying are other people who have the same education, kind of education, to think like you're thinking. What good does that do for the rest of the body of Christ? I mean, write those books of those people just between you and them. Like, two versions. Here's our version so we can have these fun discussions over a cup of coffee. And then I'm going to put a big thing where normal people can understand what we're saying. So it actually can make a difference in the masses and their lives. I remember one time I did this thing on Eucharist. Preached for 2 hours at this huge conference overseas. And afterwards, the person came up to me, one of the main person leaders said, that was really good pastoral word about Eucharist. But it was sort of he was trying to tell me that it wasn't very theological. And my thought, if it's not a pastoral word, it's not good theology. The word theology comes from theos, God, and logos, word. If the word from God is not where everybody can understand it, then what's the point of God speaking? And so God makes things simple for us. So one of the issues about prayer in the story of Elijah is praying in faith. How do I pray in faith? Based on the fact that I'm in union with Christ. And as much as I know how this is God's will that He's revealed, then Christ is actually, because I'm praying in His name, is praying through me. He's my prayer life. And the Father says yes to Him. Every time. I can be confident in that. Amen? The maddening part of it, though, guys and gals, the glorious part of it all, the maddening part of it all, is it's not a formula. You have to spend time in His presence to discern His heart and will. Because it's about relationships. That's why God did it that way. He wants your presence. He wants you to hang with Him. He's not just going to send index cards in the mail that says, this is my will. The process of discerning His heart is what transforms us into Christ-likeness, teaches us to be more sensitive to His voice. He does it that way on purpose so He can lure us in. Because what He longs for the most, remember what it said in Song of Solomon when we started? My voice is sweet to Him and my presence to Him is lovely. That's why we spent several weeks talking about the communion part of prayer. That everything's based on that. Because if you don't, a lot of things we're going to believe for, a lot of things we're going to decree and declare are going to come out of our soul and not out of His heart. So effective prayer, which in the word literally means prayers at work, are the prayers of faith. And they accomplish powerful things. I like that. It doesn't say, and every once in a while something will happen. He says the effectual prayer of a righteous man accomplishes, prevails much. I remember when I first started walking with the Lord, somehow people think, get in their head, it was not really spiritual to want God to reward your prayers by answering your prayers. Then why did God use a word like reward in Matthew chapter 5? God really likes to answer our prayers. He could do stuff on the earth without us. But the very fact that Jesus came to the cross and died for you and me, did something on our behalf that we couldn't lift a finger to assist him, is absolute proof that he doesn't want to do anything without you. He never has. That's why when man fell in the garden, God didn't come into the garden going, where are you? Because I'm going to get you. I told you so. He knew what had happened. He knew what was going on. They were hiding from him. He didn't hide from them. He's always in hot pursuit. And the first thing he did, after giving them the opportunity to admit what they have done, was to decree and declare to the enemy his demise and destruction. And then the solution of the cross. God could do all kinds of stuff in terms of, why would we need to pray? Because he wants you to participate in his life, to partner with him in seeing the will of heaven being accomplished on earth. What did the enemy go after? Could he tear down God? No. But he did go after his masterpiece. He went after God's creation. That which was created to reveal his likeness, bear his image. So what does God use now to tear the enemy down? The very thing that God tried to destroy. Those who carry his image, who are called to manifest his likeness. So when we pray, it accomplishes much. Now here's the tricky one. The effective prayer of a righteous man. So, okay, I'm out. I'm done. He didn't say the effective prayer of a perfect man. He said the effectual prayer of a righteous man accomplishes much. And then he names Elijah. So we understand he's not talking about somebody who's perfect. The eyes of God run to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking for anyone whose heart is perfect towards him, that he might show himself strong on their behalf. 2 Chronicles 16:9. Not a perfect walk, not a perfect theology, but a heart that's going after him. And he'll show himself strong on that person's behalf. It says about David, who got it perfect all the time, right? Listen, some of the things that you've done, David's stuff makes you look really good. But he's the only person in Scripture. He wasn't the only one. But it's the only one God said about him that he had a heart after God. And it says about him in Acts 13:22, he had a heart after God because he was willing to do all of God's will. Did he always do God's will? No. But he wanted to more than anything else in the world. God can work with that. As a matter of fact, what does it say about us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21? For he, the Father, made him who knew no sin, Jesus, to become sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman, that's you. That's you. Not only is it about how righteous you are, you belong in that place of prayer, asking in confidence because you're resting in the righteousness of God that's in Christ. It's not about your performance, it's about His. Now, does a righteous lifestyle matter? Yes. In this sense, people who aren't walking with the Lord don't have a tendency to be praying according to God's will. And God won't bless your story. He'll bless the story of Christ in your life. Now, you belong in His presence because of the righteousness of God in Christ. That's who you are. But is a righteous lifestyle matter? Yes, because God's not going to bless a rebellious story. He's going to bless the story that Jesus lives through you, which is in line with the will of God. Amen? See, this is where I want to jump around, but I'm intimidated by the camera, because if I jump, the camera stays there. That's okay. Then poor Bracken has to run around. See, I'm not trying to do stuff to get righteous before God. Hear me? I'm not trying to do stuff to earn God's favor. I'm not trying to do stuff to earn God's acceptance. I have all that in Christ. And that is so amazing to me that I'm in union with Him. It's not about Him tapping me and say, go be a good Christian. And the better you do it, the more I'll bless you. I'm in Christ. Christ is living His life through me. I want to yield to that because that's going to be much better than anything I've ever tried to attempt for God in my life. Wouldn't you like to read the Scriptures, read the Gospels? Do you think that would be apart from the dying on the cross kind of thing? Don't you think that'd be kind of fun to do the stuff that Jesus did? To walk in the kind of peace that Jesus walked in, the joy that He walked in, the freedom that He walked in, the supernatural power that Christ walked in? That's God's mean invitation to you to surrender your life. God's so mean to you, He would love for you to experience the life that Jesus lives. Huh? If you have to talk a Christian into surrender, they don't get what it means to be a Christian. It's the most alluring thing in the world. So you belong there. You are that righteous person. And see, from God's perspective, it makes no sense. Why wouldn't you not want to be going after allowing Christ to have His way at all times? Because that's life and life more abundant. Not life and life more crummy that we settle for when we aren't surrendered. He says in verse 17, and I'm going to do this last part pretty quick. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. He prayed earnestly. Now we're going to stick at that word a little bit, earnestly. What does earnestly mean? Two things. Passion and perseverance. Passion and perseverance. God doesn't honor indifference. He honors intentionality and wholeheartedness. The word earnestly here actually means, it really means, the two words, he earnestly prayed, literally it's two words, same word used twice. He prayed in the original manuscript. He prayed. What? It means he really prayed. He wasn't just saying words. He wasn't just a formula. He really prayed. It means there was intentionality, passion, and perseverance. I love this. I'm going to read the scripture from Acts chapter 10, about Cornelius. That's an awesome name. People don't name their sons Cornelius. I wonder why. Too much. This is chapter 10 of Acts. And there was a certain man of Caesarea named Cornelius, a centurion. He was called the Italian cohort, a devout man and one who feared God with all of his household and gave many alms to the Jewish people, and prayed to God continually. About the ninth hour of the day, he clearly saw in a vision an angel of God who had just come into him and said to him, Cornelius, and fixing his gaze upon him and being much alarmed, he said, what is it, Lord? And he said to him, your prayers and alms have ascended as a memorial before God. There's one translation of this. This word could mean, memorial could mean, a remembrance sacrifice. He prayed so much. He persevered. He was passionate and he persevered continuously, and it was like a memorial before God. A memorial is like every time you go down the same street, there it is. It's like a statue. It sits there. God loves to be reminded of things he never forgets. Remember the scripture when he said, Lord, teach us to pray the Lord's Prayer. We're going to do at least one Sunday in the Lord's Prayer. It's going to blow your doors off. It's the coolest, most charismatic prayer you can ever pray. Do you understand that there's a lot of times we don't have hours to pray? But, buddy, you can blow the doors off in 5 minutes. You know when I do the whole 20-second wash your hands, which I don't think really makes any difference in the world, but I came to do it anyway because you can do the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom. I just prayed for him. Anyway, that's another subject. Same subject, different issue. But he talks about knock, keep knocking, and it will keep being open. Keep seeking, you'll keep finding. See, that's the whole part about seeking, and you'll keep finding God's will. Keep knocking, and it'll keep being open to you. Keep asking, and you'll keep receiving. That's the language. We'll talk about that verse another day, too. Remember what it says about faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is substance. So we talked earlier about the effectual prayer of a righteous man. That effectual prayer is the prayer of faith. We've got this whole thing about righteousness down. He's asking us to really pray, but to really pray in faith. That involves passion. If you really believe in something, you'll be passionate about it. But to pray with perseverance? Well, faith is substance. And you've heard me say this, so hear me again. I'm going to read some things to you so we can get through this. And we can restate it a little bit next time. Faith receives things most of the time twice. We receive it in the spirit realm, in our heart, and then we receive it in the natural, in our hand. Perseverance is believing prayer that you keep praying until you receive it in the natural, in your hand, what you've already received in your heart. God told Elijah in 1 Kings 18 is going to rain. He said he heard the sound of the storm. In the spirit. He heard the sound of the storm. But he didn't see anything. Went up to the top of the hill, got in the birthing position. I'm not encouraging anything. Craig and I went to this thing one time. They asked us to come and pray. Do it. You, Chris Craig, was it? Went to somebody's house. There was a bunch of ladies. And they came to the door. And everybody's hair was all this way and that, and they were like, had this look on their face. And Craig goes, like, what's up? And they said, well, we've just been birthing something in spirit. And Craig looked at me. I said, don't even ask. Just go in there, keep your head down, do what we're going to do, then we're going to come out. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. I'm just saying that I'm not at all. I think that's wonderful. That's what Elijah did. Amen. He had a servant with him. He had already heard the sound. He had received it in his heart. But he was praying in perseverance until he saw it in his hand. Sent the guy back 7 times, saw nothing. He comes back the 7th time and says, I see a cloud just the size of a man's fist. Did Elijah stop praying? No. He still prayed until there was a violent storm. Do you see little things the size of a man's fist? You've been praying into something that you believe is God's will. Outlast the enemy. Because he's convinced he can outlast you. Understand that. He's a staller. When you've been defeated thoroughly, The only thing you can do is try to put stuff off, hoping the person will quit before the victory is totally manifested. So I'm going to read you a few things. A couple of these are from Bickle, from some other people. So, okay, bear with me. I'm going to read. It's not enough. This is from George Mueller. Awesome. It is not enough to begin to pray, but we must patiently, believingly continue in prayer until we obtain an answer. Our prayer requests move from the spiritual realm to the natural realm through holy, persevering, believing prayer. We must refuse to be denied answers to prayers that are in agreement with God's will. We must not stop asking and thanking God for the answers until we see them with our eyes. We must not be casual about our prayer requests, but persistent and tenacious. We remind God of His promises and thank Him for having already given to them to us in the Spirit. Amen? Persevering prayer, if you're praying God's will, Lord, I thank You that this is mine. God, I'm just praying to see the manifestation of it in the natural. Remember Daniel? Chapter 10? Fasting for 21 days. He wanted revelation to his vision. And after 21 days, an angel comes and says, look, actually, you know, I got sent out of the clearinghouse with the answer the day you prayed. But I've been having this issue with the kings of Persia. But now I'm here. What if he'd have quit at 20 days? Or 21 days? I don't practice the presence of the demonic. I don't think you should do that in prayer. Jesus is King. But I am aware that there's resistance, and I keep keeping my eyes on Jesus and believing and praying, letting the angels take care of that stuff. But there is resistance. See, we're in the first heaven and third heaven. Is what we call heaven. There's a second heaven where the powers of darkness live. Third heaven things have to pass through second heaven to get here. And they have resistance. Prayers are in God's will are always answered in God's timing and in God's ways. So do not give up too quickly or become discouraged if answer is delayed. God walks in fullness of time. It's our job, it's our call to believe. It's His to watch the clock. Just keep believing. Believing isn't, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Again, we must receive every request twice. First, we receive it in the Spirit, and then eventually we will receive it in the natural. Often, what we receive in the earthly realm is given sometimes progressively in increasing measure. Breakthroughs sometimes come incrementally. God does not always give His answer in one big downpour of blessing. Sometimes it starts off with the size of a man's fist and gets bigger and bigger as it comes closer and closer. The answer sometimes comes in stages, sometimes over months, over years, or even decades. We can trust His amazing leadership in the timing and method in which He answers our prayers. Elijah prayed earnestly. What if after the sixth time he sent the servant, he said, there's nothing. He said, okay, let's forget it. God, as we draw circles around things that we know that are Your will, may we build memorials in those circles. That You who knows all things at all times, can't ignore it. You who never forget are always reminded. As you transform us. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay. Alrighty. Let's stand together. I know there's a creed. I know we all believe in the creed. If you don't believe in the creed, don't come take communion because you'll probably drop dead right there in front of all of us. I keep preaching through the creed. But it's an encouraging sign that I remember that there is a creed. That's right. So the peace, Lord, be always with you. Share the sign of God's peace with one another. One of the ways I can tell if I'm giving a good word, or at least one that's got your attention, it takes you, instead of 5 minutes, some of you only like 10 minutes to go to sleep. So that's always an encouraging thing. See here, if you're up here, you can't go to sleep because when Lily wears a hat like that, you can't ever go to sleep. Well, if I start to drift or get bored, I was like, wow, what a hat. That is a hat. That's a hat of victory, man. Silver is the color of redemption, freedom. Replace the Bible. Bless you, Lord God, King of all creation. Through your goodness, we have this bread to offer, which earth has given, human hands have made, will become the body of Christ.
Blessed be God.
By the mixing of this water and this wine, may we come to share in the divinity of Christ, who humbled himself to share in our humanity. Bless you, Lord God, King of all creation. Through your goodness, we have this wine to offer. Fruit of the vine and work of human hands will become the blood of Christ.